This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library, and our guest today is Dr. W.D. Hatfield, generally called Hap by his friends. I thought that was a shortening of Hatfield, but he tells me it's a shortening of Happy Hooligan, a term that one of his grade school little friends gave him when they were children. He is now known as Hap by his friends. Well, Dr. Hatfield, how long have you lived in Decatur?
Well, we came to Decatur January 1, 1924.
That's...
And retired in, I think it was in about June of 1958. I should have retired in 57, mm-hmm. but I stayed on an extra year to help train.
Right. They wouldn't let you go. 1924 you came here?
Yes, 1924.
Where did you come from?
Highland Park, Michigan, which is in surrounded by Detroit. It's one of these suburbs that's never gone into the city.
Uh-huh. Well, did
and
you...
And I went there as superintendent of the new water filtration plant.
Oh.
They had their own water. They didn't buy their water from Detroit. They had their own filtration.
So
it was a new plant, and I went there as superintendent from where I was teaching out at Montana State College, Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, well, you really made quite a long move there.
I taught physical chemistry and organic chemistry out there. That was the first position I had when I got out of the First World War.
Well, now we're tracing your career in reverse, and we've gone backwards now in time through your first position and your teaching career in Montana. But what, and the First World War, you said?
Yes.
What did you do in the war?
Well, I didn't get in until it was almost over.
Fortunately.
I might say that what I did, I went to college in my hometown, Jacksonville, at Illinois College, and graduated in 1914 with a B.S. degree in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I graduated the year before when I was a junior in college on the piano at the Conservatory of Music. And I didn't know whether I wanted to be a musician or a chemist. So I simply left it to fate. I said, whoever gives me the best assistantship for further study, I'll take. And it happened that I went to the university with the Illinois State Water Survey and was over there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated, got my doctor's degree in 1918. So that is the educational background.
So you were in the war just a short time.
Yes, I was commissioned a lieutenant in the Sanitary Corps about in July, I guess it was, 1918, and went into officer's training, got out of officer's training in sometime in October, it was the end of October, got orders for overseas duties, and went to Allentown, Pennsylvania for it. And when I arrived in Allentown, it was the day of the premature celebration of the Armistice.
So you got in just for the shouting?
They didn't know what to do with 10 or 15 of us sanitary engineers, so they... sent us all around to the various different airfields as to take care of the sewage treatment plants that had been built at these air. And I was sent to Post Field, Oklahoma, which was the airfield that operated in connection with Fort Sill, a large artillery training post. It was a very interesting place, and I was there about 2 months, and the man who was the chief engineer for the artillery post went to Washington, and I was moved over from the airfield in charge of the water and sewage of both Postfield and Fort Sill. So, and they were building a new waterworks there for filtering the water that came from Lake Latonka. And I was held in the service until September to put that plant into operation.
Well, you were really fortunate, in a way, to have your service in the Army coincide with your
Christmas training, yes. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of the Army, the only job that opened up at that particular time was teaching out in Montana State.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I wanted to teach, but that's the way
Did
it worked
you enjoy
out.
That?
And so we taught, and while I was there at Fort Sill, we were married, and Corinne and I enjoyed, you might say, 6 or 8 months of Army life in a regular Army post.
Uh-huh.
Rather unusual.
Yes.
And then we were in Bozeman for the year, and I had this chance to get out of teaching and into what I call practical work.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Highland Park, Michigan, was there for 3 years, mm-hmm. and then came to Decatur, superintendent of the new sewage treatment plant that was built here in Decatur. And so I've been here since 1924.
Mm-hmm. Which, now, were you, did they, was this a going concern when you came, or did you have to start?
No, I had to start it. It, I have to give you the history of the formation of the Sanitary District, which is...
Was that the building of Lake Decatur, or had it already
No,
been?
The Lake Decatur was built about 2 years before we came, mm-hmm. or maybe sooner than that.
Well, it is a part of this whole system, is it? Is
well,
it or
no.
not? Oh, I see.
No, the Sanitary District has nothing to do with
see.
The city.
Mm-hmm.
The city built the Lake Decatur.
Yeah.
And the sewage indicator was unusually strong because of the new plant that Mr. Staley had built to grind 10,000 bushels of corn a day out
mm-hmm.
there. The waste had polluted the river downstream for a good many miles. And farmers' cattle, some farmers claimed their cattle had died from drinking the water, and they brought suit against the city and the state. Ordered them to treat the sewage, but they were bonded to the limit and they couldn't afford to build a sewage treatment
mm-hmm.
plant. So Judge Baldwin, who was a judge here at that time, wrote up and got passed a Sanitary District Law of 1917
mm-hmm.
that allowed the city and the area around the city to form a Sanitary District and issue bonds so that they could afford to build a plant. The city
mm-hmm.
could,
yeah.
I suppose the city had spent most of its money on the dam.
Mm-hmm.
So that the city was bonded to the limit, and that's mm-hmm. the reason the Sanitary District was formed.
Mm-hmm.
And following that, the Urbana-Champaign District was the next one mm-hmm. formed under that law, and then Springfield, and
mm-hmm.
Peoria, and some 15 mm-hmm. or 20 mm-hmm. other districts of the larger mm-hmm. cities in the state.
So when you came to Decatur, you really had to start the whole system from
the
beginning.
The system was designed and being built was designed by Greeley and Hanson of mm-hmm. Chicago Engineers. And the first intercepting sewers were built, and then the sewage treatment plant, and then I came on January 1, and the plant wasn't completed. We didn't get it started until along in May or June sometime.
Mm-hmm. Those must
1924. So
busy
I put the new plant in operation.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the idea, I put the plant down in Fort Sill in operation, and I went to start up a new plant in Highland Park. Then I came here to start the new plant.
Well, it must.
And you might say I have continued starting new plants. Okay. When I retired, I had quite a nice consulting experience over the years putting new plants in operation or numerous places in this country, particularly mm-hmm. up in Canada. And also the nicest trip we had was 6 to 7 months down in Trinidad.
Oh.
Putting some new plants in operation at a Boston firm built. So that sort of...
It must be a thrill to plan something and start it and then see it start up. Do you often have big headaches when these plants start?
Well, they're headaches, but then that's what I used to tell people when we had our problems, and we've always had problems out of the sanitary district, that if there wouldn't be any jobs that was worth anything unless they really had problems.
So,
that is, they could run the plant by just ordinary people without any education. There was the problems that made the job worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I didn't think when I came here that I'd be here more than 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, and to give you an idea of what the problem is, for instance, the industrial development of Decatur has been largely along the lines of food processing, mm-hmm. like Staley's, who grinds many thousands of bushels of corn a day, mm-hmm. 100,000 or more. And Archie Daniel Midland, which grinds almost the same amount of soybeans, and Staley also grinds almost mm-hmm. that many soybeans. So that the sewage treatment plant, when I came here, was built about 3 times as big as you would need for a town of 30,000, about 30,000.
Did they
anticipate? So it was about 90,000, the plant was designed to take mm-hmm. care of.
They anticipated
like
the increase.
Yeah, anticipated that there would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the problem developed faster than anybody had anticipated. Mr. Staley Sr., the old man that brought the plant here, said it was going to be a 10,000 bushel plant. By the time I got here, it was 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't any time till it was 100,000 bushels a day.
Yeah.
And so that's what really made the job interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Made it difficult, but mm-hmm. interesting.
And then new companies came in later.
I came in when we started the new plant.
Right. Well, what have you noticed many changes in Decatur over these years that you've been here, Dr. Hatfield?
Well, it's always been a very up-and-coming industrial city, you might say, because and when I came here, it was Mueller's and Staley's. Wasn't very long before Archie Daniels started. Of course, during the war, the Caterpillar Company built the military engine company out mm-hmm. here, which is now the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caterpillar later came back and built their own plant here in Decatur. So the large companies are the Muellers mm-hmm. and ADM and Staley's and Firestone, and I don't know, I should mention some others.
Well, you've been in a position to see the growth of these large industrial firms.
Oh, yes, the industrial growth has really been tremendous, you might say. And I spoke of the original sewage treatment plant being much larger than was needed for a city of this size, and it is interesting that now the present sewage treatment plant is designed for about 290,000 people. The city of Decatur, according to the sign on the side, is 90,000.
Yeah.
So, in other words, the plant now is 3,927. Mm-hmm. That's over 3 times
mm-hmm.
the size of the city.
Right.
So that gives an idea of the problem mm-hmm. that has been faced there.
Well, what do you think of the future of Decatur?
Well, that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. We've got the downtown is going to have to be rebuilt and will be and will change in this from the stores to doctor's offices and various different kinds
civic,
of offices
activities.
And civic activities. And I think still will be many smaller stores today. Mm-hmm. And there may be a return of department stores. Of course, wards are still going to be, I think, mm-hmm. down there. What happens to where Sears are, whether they get out, mm-hmm. we don't know. They claim they're going.
But as you said, your own position, all these problems add interest to the future and to the job and so on. Well, why don't we talk a minute about your own personal interest? You said you liked music. Have you kept up your music?
Yes, I still play mm-hmm. a good deal on the piano. I usually, Dorothy, the helper here, sort of dresses and takes care of Miss Hatfield in the morning, I usually play the piano for an hour or 2 hours, so I get...
What kind of music do you like?
Well, of course, it means that it's classical. I mm-hmm. don't play jazz.
Yeah.
I've tried to, and I have one or two things that I used to play that were fun, but mm-hmm. I usually get a little tired because they're rather...
You prefer
I prefer a little more complicated
right.
design and style. Mm-hmm. Mostly classical.
Well, I know you mentioned your travels. You probably combined your business and your pleasure in travel.
Well, I was very lucky. I've always been active in the national and state societies of the engineers and chemists and the sewage treatment plant, tradeways. And I was elected president of the National Federation of, it was called the Federation of Sewage Works Associations in those days, uh-huh. but they didn't like the word sewage, so they changed it to Water Pollution Control. And it happened that just at the time that I retired, I was president. Uh-huh. And
they had
a system by which the president, the vice president 1 year, the president, and then the past president, over the 3 years, you practically made the different state organizations. Whenever the state organization had a meeting, either the vice president or the president or the past president would attend the mm-hmm. meeting to keep the national association mm-hmm. in close contact with the province. So, over those 3 years, Ms. Hatfield and I were free to travel almost all over the United States to all the different state association meetings, so that we quite often were able to, for instance, attend the Arizona meeting and maybe take a little vacation and then attend the New Mexico meeting and then the next month be out in California and attend the California section meeting, so that over the year, we just about covered the landscape.
It sounds good.
So, which was unusual. Now, most men are president when they're busy,
mm-hmm.
and when they have to attend these meetings over those 3 years, they have to fly in and stay to the banquet and mm-hmm. fly out. Well, we would drive in and spend 2 or 3 days with them. Really made them. It was very nice for me, and I think very nice for the association.
Right, because you could give the extra time and interest.
And then, also, as I say, I had quite a nice business starting up new treatment plants.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you've already mentioned you did quite a bit of travel in connection with that.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky in getting the connections with the Toronto engineering firm. I starting up problems in the new plant mm-hmm. in Toronto yeah. that they had mm-hmm. designed. And with that firm, I started up quite a number of their new plants. London, Ontario, and Winnipeg, and Calgary, and now those were the chief, rather large plants up there. And on those jobs, I had the type of work that I went for a week, four times a year, for 2 years. So we were traveling up to Canada four times a year to Winnipeg or to London or to Toronto or Calgary, somewhere over the period of 20 years. We had quite a lot of very interesting work. And of course, the 6 months that we spent down in Trinidad with the engineering firm from Boston, Metcalf and Eddy, they built on one of these foreign works. The engineers had three plants for the island and the larger cities on the island. So I was down there for 6 months.
So you've had a wonderful opportunity to get to know people in different sections of the world, in addition to helping them with your business. Do you think that, excuse me?
Well, I was going to say then another thing, as far as our traveling concerned, our son, oldest son, was with Caterpillar Tractor Company over in Peoria after he got out of college. And he was in the Treasury Department, which means that he had contact or something to do with the distributors and their finances. Not he wasn't an auditor or anything like that. It was a matter of advising on the financing. And he finally was sent over to Geneva for 10 years.
Oh.
Well, he was only in Geneva 4 years, and then in Grenoble, France.
Oh.
Or, no, he was in Geneva 6 years, and then in Grenoble, France, 4 years. And during that time, the Caterpillar Company sent the family back home every other year. So that was a good excuse for us to go visit them over in Europe. The other other years.
So you have had some fine opportunities.
Over that time, we were over 4 or 5 times to visit them for maybe a month and then take a trip through Norway, Sweden, and Belgium, Denmark, or rent a car and take a motor trip around France or Germany or...
Well, it sounds
so
as if
we've had
a very fine retirement. Yeah. Do you have any advice to people who are thinking about retirement?
Well, I don't think they'll find that retirement is bad at all if they have any interests. I had, of course, an unusual opportunity to continue in my work when I retired. Instead of quitting work, I really started working for myself as a consultant, you might say. And then I had music and a good many interests. Of course, here in Decatur, I had a good many public interests. I was quite active in Boy Scouting for a good many years, was president of the Scout organization, on the camping committee for many years. I was connected with the City Planning Commission and the, what is the other one? Part of the city plan that allows people to make exceptions to the rules. I was on that board for a good many years. So that I've been active in municipal and public affairs.
Well, it sounds as if you have had a really wonderful life, Dr. Hatfield, and I really thank you for sharing it with us. We appreciate your telling us of these experiences and your background.
I've enjoyed it very much.
You have been listening to the reminiscences of Dr. W.D. Hatfield, a recording for the Decatur Public Library, and this is Betty Trunell speaking.